Good morning. Good to see you all here. As I have said before, I tend not to toot my own horn, but several of you have encouraged me to not see it as self-promotion as much as it is sharing my successes with my spiritual community. So today I'm going to do just that. I'm going to share one of my personal successes with you, my spiritual community. So last week, I shared part of an article that I wrote for the Huffington Post about the war on Thanksgiving. Well, this week, I'd like to share an article that I wrote for Jim Wallace's Sojourners magazine entitled, War on Christmas, Sign This Minister Up. Now, I'm particularly proud of this article because it has given me my one and only national award that I've ever won for my writing. I won the Associated Church Press's top award, the Award of Excellence. And I've modified this just a bit for oral delivery, but I think it still comes over pretty well. So with that said, my message today is entitled, War on Christmas, Sign Me Up. So for several years now, around about Christmas, the American viewing public has been subjected to seemingly constant squabbling by television pundits about the war on Christmas. Now, to make matters worse, the point on which this supposed war attempts to divide us is false. Completely and utterly untrue. You see, the war on Christmas wants us to believe that there are only two sides, the Christian side and the side that everyone else is on. Now, the funny thing is, those who spend a lot of time getting worked up by this perceived war on Christmas, the ones who believe that they are on the only Christian side of this war, well, they say that they're worried about Christ being taken out of Christmas. Well, if what we're fighting for is to stop letting Christmas become more and more secularized, then I'd have to say I'm ready to enlist. Now, it's not for the reason that you might think. I'm not on the side that by default is considered the Christian side. I'm not on the non-Christian side either. If anything, I'd make the argument that the dominant face of Christianity, as it's seen on television and promoted through news programming, is far, far from what Christianity is supposed to be about. It's a sort of whitewashed, sanitized version of Christianity that every year presents an increasingly cleaned up version of the Christmas story to the viewing public. And that's the beginning of the unraveling of there are only two sides to the war on Christmas myth. A Christian side and a non-Christian side. You see, the baby that we remember this time of year was not part of the dominant culture the way that religion has inadvertently started now is. The religious stories that were told in those days were told under the shadow of the dominant culture. They were stories of oppression and hardship, stories of overcoming unthinkable odds, stories of hope for a people living in a time and a cultural position that, well, was quite frankly a place of hopelessness. But today, our stories are told from places and positions of power. Today, Christianity is the dominant culture. So instead of an olive-skinned Middle Eastern unwed pregnant woman who was seen as little more than property, giving birth to what the world would surely see as an illegitimate child who was wrapped in what rags they could find and placed in a smelly, flea-infested feeding trough in the midst of a dark, musky, smelling animal stall. Instead of that story, we end up with a clean, white-skinned European woman giving birth to a glowing baby wrapped in impossibly white swaddling clothes and laid to rest in a manger that looks more like a cradle in the midst of a barn that is more kept and clean than many of our houses. War on Christmas? Sure, sign me up. I just about prefer the elimination of what our modern celebration has become to the increasingly whitewashed version that we hear every year. The Christmas story has been hijacked by a dominant culture. Places of power and positions of prestige have warped the comeuppance sensibilities of the original Christmas story. God's vision of liberating the oppressed, the downtrodden, has slowly been replaced year after year with a story that no longer brings fear to the powers that be, but rather supports the big business agendas of profit and mass consumption. War on Christmas. Come to think of it, they're right. There is a war on Christmas, but it's actually waged by many of the very people who think Christmas is getting squeezed out of our culture in the name of plurality and spiritual diversity. If the Christmas they support wins, well, I for one would have to say that all is lost. So yes, there is a war on Christmas, and we have been supporting it. If the present day whitewashed version of Christmas continues to be the dominant version, then I believe a great darkness will smother us in a sea of privilege and perverse oblivion to the struggles of those most in need, the oppressed and the downtrodden. If the Christmas present continues to masquerade as the Christmas past, we will be left with a Christmas where we give out of our abundance rather than out of a response to need and out of a response to God's love. A Christmas where we give to those who already have abundantly, while the oppressed, the downtrodden, watch our overindulgence and rightfully judge us by our actions that run contrary to our words of a child born to bring light into the darkest corners of the world. Isaiah 9:2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. That's the very first verse of our text today, and it's supposed to be the dominant message of the Christmas narrative. So is it? Does the way that we celebrate Christmas bring light into the darkness? Does it bring hope to the hope? As the end of our text suggests, does our modern-day Christmas celebration bring justice to those who have been treated unjustly? If your answer is no, whether you knew it or not, you too believe that the Christmas past has been whitewashed into the Christmas present. This Christmas season, as we remember not only the birth of the light of the world, a child sent to enlighten the darkness, we also remember his words, "No greater love hath anyone than this, that they lay down their life for their friends." And as we remember the humble, unassuming way he came into this world, let us not forget that he left this world among thieves as an outsider, hanging on a cross in an attempt to teach us something about God's love. Child. Born in a manger. No crib for his head. He came into this world and taught us something about the value of every human soul. He came into this world as the least of these. Born to a poor woman in a borrowed animal stall. He came into this world and taught people that the least of these is simply a human construct created by the insiders to define themselves over and against people they see as somehow less than themselves. He came into this world and showed us what life looks like when it starts from the assumption that all people are worthy of love. This Christmas, I wish for you and for me light in the darkness of Christmas present. An enlightenment that helps us see clearly the love for all people that our story tells us laid in a manger some 2,000 years ago. And an enlightenment that encourages us to be the light to those trapped in the darknesses of hunger, homelessness, oppression, poverty, and war. An enlightenment that allows us to see that we too have darkness in our own lives. An enlightenment that helps us see beyond the cleaned up Christmas of the present to the humble, unassuming beginnings of Christmas. A baby born as an outsider. A baby who would teach the world about how to move from darkness to light. War on Christmas? A war on what Christmas has become? A war on worshiping consumerism in the sacred halls of Target and Best Buy while the world is swallowed up in the darkness of not having enough food to eat, a place to live, clean water to drink, access to reasonable health care? Sign me up. Because I refuse to let the story of my faith be co-opted by the corporations who only wish to convince us that we are privileged and we do deserve what we have more than others and we should revel in our abundance. Even as we celebrate the birth of a child who laid in a feeding trough, who lived his life with no place to lay his head, who told us that just as you do it unto one of the least of these, so too you do it unto me. Who gave up his very life that we might understand what true love looks like. War on Christmas? Indeed. Where do I sign up? We'll give you the opportunity to respond to the scripture reading or the message from today. Are there folks who have thoughts they'd like to share with your spiritual community?
Good morning. I'm Charlie. Mark, thank you for a great message. I want to make sure I understood one thing that you said. I thought I heard you say that we, instead of giving responsibility, we give to abundance, that we give to the retailers and the big commercial interest instead of taking that money and giving it to people who are really in need.
We certainly give more to those who already have abundance, like the big retailers. Sure. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Are there others? David over here. Oh, got one if you don't want to walk too far, and then another one down here.
I was just thinking when I was a single parent, well, still am, but before Christmas was, when I grew up, it was really basically what you said. And so I had that mindset for many years until I became divorced and a single parent. Mm-hmm. And it was very difficult, even though I had a good ex-husband who provided for child support. Mm-hmm. You do get in that mindset. We've got to get this, and when they're young, they want this and they want that. And when you're a single parent, you want to play both parents. And so that's when I learned really my thinking about Christmas changed.
Oh, yeah.
It just came more simplified, and not that I needed to go to all these stores and buy this and that. And so that's when it really changed, and after all these years of 40-some years, that's the way I feel.
Yeah.
And it does make a difference to simplify it.
Yeah.
That sounds corny maybe, but it does.
Yeah. Not at all. Thank you for sharing that. David?
Thank you again, Mark. And I wanted to, I think I've tried to summarize your message. Christmas in this present is too much about Christmas presents and not enough about spiritual presence.
I think that's a pretty good summary. Absolutely.
That's copyrighted.
Man, that would have saved me and you a lot of time, wouldn't it? I might have to consider that for the next time. Are there others?